Welcome to another episode of The Neil Damrell Show with your host, myself, Neil Damrell, founder of Damrell Coaching, bringing you simple and honest advice on all things cycling related, helping you to cycle faster and recover quicker. Plus, sharing my personal experiences on all things health, wealth and mindset. So without further ado, let's get into today's episode.
Hello, join me tonight. Can you just introduce yourself, what you do for a living, and a little bit more about yourself?
So my name's Duncan McNutt. I'm a dentist, live and work up in Cumbria. Been a cyclist since I was a kid, on and off. Done triathlon, done all sorts of other stuff, swam competitively, had a 14, had pneumonia, had COVID twice, lockdown, had an accident, fell off my bike. Brought, what, 7 bones, 5 ribs, punctured lung, collarbone, elbow, all the rest. Put a lot of weight on, getting back into it.
Yeah.
That's a quick synopsis, isn't it?
That's brilliant. That's it, yeah, straight to the point. What made you think about needing to take a change and improve your weight?
So, as I briefly mentioned there, I'd put a lot of weight on. I've been trying to drop my weight and get back to fitness and make a start without much success, on and off, for probably 18 months, 2 years. So once we got out of lockdown and probably got back into, what year would that have been now? It's all a blur, isn't it, after lockdown? Of 22, I suppose, really, the start of 2022. Since about then, really, I've been trying on and off to do stuff and not really managed to get very far. My mind wasn't in the right place, which doesn't help, and not really gone anywhere, but started to really know that health-wise, I needed to do something. And so that was it. And I wanted to try and find somebody to help me coach-wise, who could help me both on the motivation side, the nutrition side, the fitness side, and everything.
Yeah.
To basically give me a kick up the backside and get me moving.
Yeah, that's good. And you worked with a coach before in the past?
So I've worked, obviously coming from a swimming background, you've always got a coach on the pool side. So I work with coaches locked like that. I've worked with coaches cycling, I've worked with coaches swimming. So I like having that parrot on your shoulder, whatever it is, somebody to talk to, somebody to guide, somebody to go, that's fine. Like you do.
What was it that made you think you needed to reach out to someone? Start making that change?
Because obviously, as you know now, I know what to do. Just I needed that second person guiding, pushing to give me the motivation to see it through, basically, and do what I knew I needed to do.
When did you first find out about my services, and when did we first start chatting?
Probably I saw your posts on, was it Facebook or Instagram? It'd be one of the two, probably Facebook. And they came up in my feed for some reason. Don't ask me why, but they did. Yeah. Probably during May. And then I contacted you during May, I think, didn't I? And we had a few chats. And then it was the 1st of June that I made an official mental start in my head to start doing stuff. And so really everything's been since then, 1st of June, 2023.
Brilliant. And what was it that attracted you initially to reach out for me, particularly to help you? Obviously, there's other coaches around, but is there anything particular?
I think it's just the way that you'd done the little videos and your little about diet and nutrition and people losing weight and motivation and things. I think it was that. And then I'd sent you an email, a message, and we'd had a bit of a chat and asked you questions about what you provided.
Yeah.
And that fitted what I wanted. So that's where we went.
Perfect. Did you have any particular reservations before signing up? Obviously, we had a chat.
Yeah, the reservation that, was Training Peaks, wasn't it? I think that was my main question, wasn't it? Was whether you'd use Training Peaks and how used to setting training plans with Training Peaks, because I like the ability to just go into Training Peaks and then the training session comes up and I can use it on Zwift or I can use it on Garmin. And so I just like that ease of use. And of course you are, so that's great.
Did you have any other reservations aside from that, like jumping on board? And
don't think so. I don't think so, because looking at your website, I think it was fairly clear what you offered. It was just that I wasn't clear about. So that was the question, the main question for me.
And how did you find that in the end when we obviously started working together, that transition, working with Trainer Peaks around the other platform that we use? Did that work well?
So I think it does work well. There's only one or two minor things, isn't there, with the platform that you mentioned, which one was, and I meant to mention it to you the other day that I came across, and now I've forgotten what it was, but it does work on the whole 95%, I'd say, very well. There's just the odd little thing that it's like not quite as easy as perhaps it could be, but it's only minor stuff.
Okay. And in terms of that reservation that you had with Trainer Peaks, obviously I helped you overcome that. Was that basically just through getting on board and using it and showing that we could use it?
I mean, it's just you scheduling the workouts that you wanted me to do and on which days, and then the session in there. So it just came up as a workout file, either on Garmin or on Zwift.
Perfect. Good. And what were your aims to work when we're working together over the four goals?
It was weight loss, wasn't it? That was the main aim, was weight loss. And just continuing to build my fitness back and get a base without becoming ill, getting consistency, and without falling off the end.
Give us an overview of like where you were, particularly fitness-wise and weight-wise.
So I think fitness-wise, I'd not done much in terms of time, effort, anything like that, miles on the bike, for a good 2 or 3 years. I think probably 2 or 3 years is accurate. I'd been on and off and inconsistent. So I think last year I've probably only done 3,000-4,000 kilometers on the bike. It's not a lot.
Yeah.
When you think that, was it 2020, I did 16,000 kilometers, and that's what I'd normally be doing. My weight had ballooned up to 8-ish. It might have been point something, but it was 85, give or take. Fitness-wise, I was struggling to do 50 miles. I'd do 50 miles and my heart rate would be through the roof. I'd be struggling up the hills. I was cramping, wasn't I? I was struggling. And previously, I think my longest ride previously is just under 300. So it's like, and I could do 100 kilometers, 100 miles with my eyes shut, and 100 kilometers with my eyes shut, certainly, in my sleep almost. And struggling to do 50 miles.
And so what were your goals initially then end up?
Get back to regular 100-mile rides, get my weight down. I'd set a weight of, when we were talking initially, of 72 kilograms in my head, which is, I think, roughly where I was. I was 72, 73, 74 in 2020. So I'd said 72. You nudged 70, hadn't you? You suggested 70. I have been below that, as we know. I've been down as low as 66 and 68 at race weight. I don't want to be at race weight at this time of year. Goals, regular 100-mile rides, getting back to consistent training, and getting my FTP back to work. I thought I was happy with. And it was just a case of getting fit again, really. I'd not set myself at that stage a goal for FTP. I just wanted to be able to ride again and get the weight off and get fit.
Good. And did you, in terms of over the 4 months we worked together, did you feel like you've achieved those goals that we set out at the start?
100%. Oh. So I'm 72 kilos this morning. Before I went on holiday, I was 71.3, I think. So, I mean, I'll still get down to 70, but it's just a case of as and when. Doing the 100-mile rides, I think I've done two. So I'm back on to doing my 100-mile ride once a month. I've now set myself goals of doing the Fred again, Fred Whitten Challenge. FTP's back to what I'd consider to be on the way up to where it should be. So it was 242, I think, when we started.
Yeah.
And we're now up to, latest test was 265 watts, which is okay. Yeah. I mean, obviously it can go higher, but that's okay. It's on the way up. It's okay. Yeah. This time of year, that's okay. When I'm coming from 3 years of inconsistent riding almost, that's fine. Yeah. So it's good.
And if you consider like your watts per kilo as well, because obviously you've lost.
Yeah, exactly. That's absolutely.
You're weighing 85, now you're 72.
Were these about three almost at the start?
I think it was under three, 2.7.
No, it's about 3.6. So I can get up to 4.
Perfect.
And it's that consistency, yeah, isn't it? And all right, as we've been doing with the exercises that you set me as well, and the mobility stuff and the weight training. I mean, I found the first 100-mile ride, I don't know whether I've mentioned this to you, that I would get to the end of a 100-mile ride and I'd be struggling to be on the drops because my shoulders would be sore, my neck would be sore. It was at the end of the 100-mile ride, it was at 80 miles into a headwind and comfortable on the drops.
Brilliant.
So significant, yeah, isn't it?
You feel that's definitely because of the land-based training that we subscribe,
I think so,
put in.
I think
mobility.
So. I think that's those, the mobility stuff and those WY movements you were getting me to do.
Really good. Perfect. And just, and what about like your nutrition? How did you find that over the 4 months in terms of achieving your goals? Did you find it pretty sustainable? Was it a good way of managing your weight?
Yeah. So we've not talked about that, have we, the nutrition? Yeah. So you got me on an 8:16 almost fasting thing using the MyFitnessPal. And I think it works really well. It's really easy to use. It's good.
Do you feel that something, obviously now you've reached your goal, or you're pretty close to your goal. I mean, you've lost, you know, over 15 kilos, haven't you?
It's a lot.
But do you feel that can continue if you feel like you've got, we've like worked together to build a sustainable,
so at the moment, as I say, I've had 2 weeks of holiday, 2 weeks of not using it, pretty much being a bit slack. So going forward, I'll be back onto that and I'll be back onto keeping track of what I'm eating, when I'm eating it. But not as strict as I was before, perhaps.
Yeah.
Because obviously I don't want to keep losing weight.
And you know, also if you were away on holiday, did you find obviously your weight's not really changed much? You've obviously managed to be more conscious of what you're eating and you've not put on kilo of weight being on holiday. Right. Perfect.
And I've certainly been on holiday, I've had a holiday, I've eaten holiday stuff and done holiday stuff. So to only be a kilogram out is fine. Well, it's not even a kilogram, is it? It's 0.7.
Yeah. That's brilliant.
It's fine.
And how did you find your nutrition changed on the bike? How did you find that changed quite a bit as well in terms of fueling those rides that we did?
I think what you've helped me realize is I'd take nutrition on the bike, and my nutrition that I'm actually eating isn't that much different. It's the timing of it.
Yeah.
I think essentially. So I'd wait half an hour into the ride before I'd start eating or drinking.
Hmm.
Whereas now I'm starting from the off go.
Yeah.
Straight away.
Yeah.
And the other one as well is putting the electrolyte tablets in my drink, which I think that's made a big difference as well.
And that's alongside the carbohydrate drink as well, isn't it?
Yeah, so certainly that's eliminated the cramping altogether.
Perfect. And you found that has really helped alongside the training to feel a lot more comfortable on those longer rides as well.
So. Absolutely.
And how has it changed in terms of like your recovery? Well, so how do you feel coming back after a long ride, like 100 miles compared to maybe what you were?
Beforehand, obviously I'd be eating like a horse and eating myself out of house and home because I wasn't consuming enough calories on the bike. So now it's easier to hit the target calorie intake for the day without being stupid once I get back, because I've eaten a lot of the calories on the bike.
Yeah.
That obviously helps with recovery, not only on that day, but the day after and subsequent training as well. That's good.
No, brilliant. So good, Duncan. In terms of like you mentioned earlier as well, like when we wanted to work together and we started, you wanted to sort of build kind of a sustainable training plan around good periodization so you wouldn't feel burnt out and fatigued. How did that work for you over the 4 months? Did you feel that what we did was sustainable? We had some good recovery periods, so you could feel like you weren't really training. It was a kind of slow, gradual process.
It did. So, I mean, if you look at the training profile and what we've done, basically the whole lot of it, it's built and built and built, hasn't it? In terms of duration, efforts, everything's been increasing over that period.
Yeah.
And I haven't been ill.
Yeah, that's amazing. So good. How did that compare to how you trained in the past before? Did you find that you picked up more colds and
do have a tendency to overtrain, to want to overtrain. And the problem is I don't always recognize it. And I tend to be fine and fine and fine and then fall off a cliff when I haven't.
It's quite an easy thing for a lot of endurance cyclists to do, isn't it? Because you just want to be riding a lot and feel like that's how you're going to improve in a way.
Well, everybody wants to ride the bike. That's why we do it, isn't it? Exactly. Or exercise, whichever it is. It's addictive, isn't it?
So what was the biggest lesson for you in terms of...
I think I've slowly realized that over time anyway on my own. From past mistakes.
Yeah.
Because I knew that was something I had to be careful with right at the start.
That's good. So you just become... So
I'd already learned that lesson.
And you've just become more, I suppose... just helped you to be more mindful of it, would you say?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, alongside it. Just being more that's brilliant. What would your like overall conclusions be of like working with me for the last 4 months? So in terms of what your goals were at the start, whether you've achieved them and the process of working together as well. What if you had to sum that up in two or three sentences, what would you say your overall feedback?
Okay, conclusion of working with you for the last 4 months. We've hit all the goals that I'd set or we'd set jointly together, every single one of them. The process of working with you has been very easy. You've been there to answer any questions. You've replied. You've been very easy to communicate with. So I think for the last 4 months of working with you, Neil, I think we've hit every single target that we'd set. I don't think there's one we haven't achieved. You've been... the answering questions, easy to communicate with. I think the program has worked very well. There's not anything that I've not been happy with or not satisfied with. I think everything has been very good.
Brilliant. I mean, obviously down to you putting all the hard work in, and you've been, I'm not like to say you've been a star client. In terms of the communication that you provided, that really helped me support you as best I can, because you're always feeding back every session. So I could see how the sessions were going for you. If they were too hard, too easy, we could upgrade them. Based on that, you giving me that feedback and that data allowed me to be able to support you as best I could as well. So that's amazing.
But I think that's the thing, isn't it? It's from where I've come from, having had that coaching background before, because I've probably not said I've coached people as well from a swimming background. So I've been doing it long enough to know what I'm looking out for in the sessions myself and what I'm trying to get out, and then what to record for myself in the future to look back at as well. So I think it all helps, doesn't it?
Definitely.
Like, it's that two-way communication. And if I don't tell you what you need to know, you can't help me.
That's right. That would be definitely the key. You know, would that be the key message for anybody looking to
communication,
you know, whether coach, just communicate as much as possible.
Both ways.
Definitely, we've both got each other's interest in heart, and
I want
to be able to help you as best I can. And if you can provide me as much data as possible, then make my life easier and be able to, you're going to get more from the coaching, aren't you, by being more
absolutely. It's like, see, even little things that might seem silly as well.
What things would you say?
Well, the other day when just one of the sessions where I skip a session for whatever reason because I'm not feeling okay.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, you might be tired or you're trying to do a session on Zwift and the internet's playing up. Whatever it is, it'll be something like that. And then I can write that in and you can go and just reinforce, or there's another word, isn't there? Reassure the client, me. That's okay. I know it's okay, but it's still bugging me. Whereas you're saying, that's fine. And then you let it go and it's just another piece of stress out the window, which reduces your overall stress, which helps you recover, which helps you get better.
It's just, so you do feel that
one
the feedback,
example like that, isn't it?
So do you feel the feedback that obviously was provided from myself, obviously the communication you had, just allowed you to, if you missed the session, not to be worried about it?
If I go back 5 or 10 years, I used to get a really big problem with missing a session. I used to get really stressed about it because I was addicted to it, I'm sure. Overtraining and everything. It did. It really, really, really wind me up. It would affect relationships and everything. It would overflow.
And I could see that from my perspective as well, being coached myself and training. And if someone's looking at your platform and you've not done those workouts, I might be questioning, are you really actually doing anything? Or you've decided not to bother to train that week when... actually, you might have said you cut your internet down for the week, or you just you tried the session, but actually you're knackered and
yeah,
can't do it. And the fact is that you were listening to your body and not feeling that you were obliged to do the session just because it was scheduled.
Yeah.
And you fed back to me that I'm tired. Yeah. I'm going to save my legs for tomorrow and listen to your body. And that's really key, rather than just because it's written down in black and white doesn't mean you have to tick every box.
And I think that's it. I think it's so easy to fall into that trap, isn't it? That it's prescribed. You've got to do it.
It's really good. It's really insightful, Duncan, because obviously a lot of people, other clients I'm working with as well, probably have that sometimes, that they feel they have to do those sessions even though they might be feeling tired or they've got other things. They might go for a ride and then do a double ride because I've already prescribed it. So, well, that should be your...
I mean, that's something else that's worth mentioning, really going into, isn't it? Because like you say, if you've missed a ride, and you've said to me before in messages, don't play catch up.
Yeah.
Don't feel like you've got to play catch up. And if you miss a ride, then trying to catch up the day after.
Yeah.
And things like that. And it's a huge learning curve, and it takes a long time, I think, to get over that, almost all over that feeling that that's how it's got to be.
And I suppose just trusting in the process of it, of that gradual build up, opposed to aggressively training really hard for a block and then you need a block off, really.
Well, I think you had a kind of, it was a podcast or one of your little daily, weekly snippets that you had that you do. There was one about talking about gains and zone two training. And whoever you were talking to, and you were both talking about you're better off being at the low end of zone two than at the higher end of zone two. You still get the same benefit, but you're still fresh at the end to carry on training the day after rather than burning yourself out.
That's right.
It's that type of thing, isn't it? It's looking at the overall picture.
Definitely. Absolutely, because I always think, especially as athletes, you want to, it feels good sometimes to go off of a session absolutely wiped out, like you've given it 100%.
Yeah.
But you can't do that every day. So you have to kind of learn to do the not so exciting sessions sometimes to
really get the
maximum gains, don't you? Perfect. Because obviously we did a few sportifs while working together over the last 3 months, how did you feel going into them and coming out of them in terms of the training and tapering off and trying to peak? Obviously, they were part of your training plan. You weren't peaking particularly,
I mean, from my point of view, I wasn't bothered because I just see them as training.
Exactly.
So I just see them as training and going out and enjoying the day. I wasn't trying to do anything other than ride it and finish and get home. But I mean, certainly for all three of them, I was fresh, and I think pretty much I managed to I think you said try and push as hard as I can and see what I can do, and I think I pretty much managed to do that on every single one, didn't I?
That's good.
It was good.
I was really proud of you as well for those, because unfortunately you didn't have the best weather for pretty much did you?
As you know, that doesn't bother me.
So
as we've said, I'm better in the rain than I am in the heat, so
you're made of harder skin than me, so
it's just waterproof. So.
I know, that's true. That's very true. That's good. But I mean, the fact that you could do that in those conditions will definitely serve you well if you're aiming for the Fred Wooden, definitely in the new year, which is always going to be iffy with the rain and wind in it. So if we just wrap things up a little bit now, just with our conversation, but a few questions based on how would you feel the service could be improved to help benefit more other cyclists like yourself in the future?
I'm not sure, Neil. I think as it is at the moment, I think it's pretty good for you. The way you've got it set up and everything, it's easy to use. It works well. I can't think of any improvements off the top of my head at the moment.
No, that's great. But fantastic that you feel that way. And I'm really glad I've been able to provide such a good service for you. What would you say to someone who was on the fence about signing up to work with me? What would your advice be if someone asked you?
Try it.
Your opinions of working with me. So
try it, because I don't know whether you still do, but you certainly did that trial period at the start, didn't you? When I signed up, there was a trial period. So try it, see how you get on.
And if anyone had any reservations about coming on board, what would your message be to
try it?
So try it.
You don't know if you try, do you?
Yes, true.
So It's like anything, until you try it, you don't know. So particularly when you do that initial little trial period, it's what have they got to lose?
That's true. And that, did that give you more confidence in terms of the platform we were using, getting you to work with me as well as an individual? Perfect. And that was your
platform that you mentioned that you use. It's easy enough to use. It's easy enough to navigate around.
Yeah.
Not a big issue.
Perfect.
It's a little bit of getting used to it, but it's not difficult to find your way around and things.
That's brilliant. And that's the key for me, is trying to make that process as easy as possible with techniques and the land-based trainer, because the last thing you want is more headaches when it comes to training. You just want to be able to, this is a session I'm going to do today and get on with it, especially around stuff. Did you find it fitted well around the work you were doing as well? Because obviously your job's can be quite stressful at times.
I mean, it wasn't an issue of fitting it in time-wise. Because that was one of the questions you put to everybody at the start, isn't it? Is what's your time commitment? So I said to you how much time I wanted to commit, and we went from there. So it did fit in, because I'd thought about previously how much time I wanted to commit.
Yeah, definitely. We're not going to get you doing 20 hours a week if you can't do 20 hours.
It's not realistic, I don't think, for me. So.
Not for most amateurs these days. But
exactly.
It's true, exactly. It's brilliant. Perfect. Anything else you'd like to add that you've thought about now, or that we haven't covered, that you'd like to...
I'm afraid not at the moment. I think we've covered everything, haven't we?
Perfect. Brilliant. I mean, I'd like to say again, just how amazing you've been to work with as well. But it's just been an absolute pleasure seeing how you're getting on, your feedback, the weight loss just coming down, just following everything.
It was like just consistent, wasn't it?
Just fantastic. Because you're obviously applying everything that we're talking and helping you. So if you apply it and be consistent with it, the results are there for you. And this week as well, to see your FTP got by 20, 30 watts in 4 months. Obviously, your watts per kilo has massively jumped up as well, by at least probably a watt per kilo in that time as well, because of the weight loss as well. It's just
I think I've said that before Christmas, well, probably on the next test, it's going to be heading up to 280. It'll get there.
That's good. I mean, it's great, and that's why you can build that consistency, and obviously Fred Whitten coming up, it just gives you so much more confidence in terms of the climbs. And well, the last thing, the question for you is, how do you feel climbing now compared to what you did 4 months ago with the increase in fitness and weight loss?
I feel like my climbing has gone back to how it was almost pre-COVID and pre-accident. So that's back brilliant. To when I would consider myself to be almost at the fittest I was since I was a teenager. Not a teenager, but 20s. Bearing in mind I'm 55. Yeah. No, I'm not. I am in a few weeks. I'm 54.
Congratulations. That's great. I mean,
it's not quite there, but it's not far off. And it will be.
Sometimes for people, I think, especially as you get older, there's sometimes a limitation you might think because of age to get back to where you want to work potentially. Would that be right sometimes?
A lot of people use that as either an excuse, I say. They do feel that it's a limiting factor, age. I don't believe it is. There's things that get in the way, but it's an excuse more than anything, I think, personally.
That's right. I'm in agreement with you there, obviously, on that. But
I mean, again, I've not mentioned this to you yet either, that because of where we've now got to, I'm now considering challenge on Windlatter Pass next year.
That is amazing.
Because have I told you about this before?
I remember you told me when we first started working together that you had to stop.
Because of the rain. So I got to 32 climbs up Windlatter. I needed 42, but I had to stop because of the rain. So it was June the 20th and it was 11 degrees in the middle of the afternoon.
UK weather.
So I've now decided that, because my weight's dropping, my climbing's getting back to where it was, my watt per kilo's getting back to where it was, my FTP's getting back to where it was, my fitness is getting back to where it was. Yes, I've got the goal for Fred Whitten. But it's like, once I've done Fred Whitten, train for Everest.
You would just take that training right onto that. You'd be more than capable of doing
it. No, exactly. But this time, I'm not going to pick a set day. I'm going to wait for a decent weather day so I can actually get it done.
Do you feel I suppose a question for you as well, just to finish and wrap up, Duncan, but a few questions I've had recently from friends, like, what are you training for, Neil? And I was like,
I know, I saw that.
I'm just training because I want to be ready.
Exactly.
Always ready.
I totally agree with what you said.
Yeah.
Just to be ready.
Because that way,
to be fit.
Do you feel in that way? Because like now, if you're just saying now, you can just go and do the Everest when the weather's good. You've already got the training there. You're not trying to peak for events.
Exactly.
You might just, right, I'm going for it that day. Maybe just change a few things a week before or whatever.
Correct. Absolutely. Yeah. And it's like the sportives that I managed to do, or the sportives that you've done, or the longer rides that you've done. It's, you can go and do them because you're ready, because you're fit. And then it's keeping at that level.
And I think it's a real big shift, mindset shift, isn't it? Because a lot of people just stop once they've achieved certainly a big goal, because obviously it can take a lot of effort to get there. But I suppose the way I really am passionate about coaching, I don't know if this came across for you, but obviously the periodization that we built, did that come across in terms of, you never said you were burnt out or felt like you were overtraining? Is that because obviously we've, how we periodize the program to be more long-term sustainable as well as
It's absolutely, and that was a key thing that I was looking for, as we said. I mean, I think training for life, aren't we, basically? Whatever you want that to be, it's training for life.
You couldn't say it better, Duncan, because obviously it's not just those events, but just being able to get out and enjoy the ride. And I find myself, you probably found it, you enjoy riding more when you're fitter, because it's not you're not coming back absolutely exhausted, or you're not worried about whether you can keep up and all those other things that might have doubts in your brain if you haven't been training as much. Good. Brilliant.
Great stuff.
Thank you very much for your time. Thank you for being an amazing client. But final remarks, Duncan, it's just been fantastic to work with.
Thank you.
You know, we really appreciate it. It's been a joy, absolute joy. So really appreciate all your hard work. And I'm so pleased that you've got, I've obviously, you're the one who's put in the hard work. I've not done any of it. So I've just helped nudge you in the right direction. But I'm glad that you've just taken on board everything that we've discussed and applied it, and just got, I think you've really exceeded my expectations in terms of what results that you've got. It's been amazing. So
okay.
Really good.